lost in the 79 prayer, but they gained back. So faith in food is wonderful. And again, the fact it has different words will keep you aware and awake and it's kind of new to you. So enjoy it. And know that you are worshiping the God of grace and mercy and power who seeks your salvation and eternal life for you. And this is a part of every communion with Him, and that is a blessing in itself. The next thing we're going to do, because we're doing something else in the piece, is I want anybody who has a birthday or a wedding anniversary during November to come forward for prayer, please. Now. Birthdays over here, anniversary over here. Know this man, his house, and his wonderful wife, Linda. Joanna. Linda. Father, give you thanks for their marriage. Give you thanks that in covenant worship with you, that giving them the opportunity to be counselors in perplexity and service one another. Oh God, heal them and hold them up in the struggles and bring them great joy in those times. Father, give you thanks for these, your children born in November. Bless their lives. Make this year a time of deeper knowledge of your love and faith. Father, I pray for blessing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy birthday. And now, I'm going to turn you over to my right-hand man, Reverend Rob Coons, who is going to be part of our first hymn. We're going to sing hymn 287. First hymn is hymn 287.
Amen. Order for service this morning is found in the blue binder in your pew. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His name, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy mortal one, have mercy, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy mortal one, have mercy, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy mortal one, have mercy, have mercy on us.
Continue now with the said Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, being very careful of your response here, the Lord be with you. Remaining standing, let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Give us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Would you please be seated for the first reading?
A reading from the Revelation, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. You may read along in your insert. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and then around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The appointed psalm is 149. We will read responsively by whole verse. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise in the congregation of the faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in his Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and adores the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hand.
To wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples.
To bind the kings in chains and their nobles with links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful people.
Worship.
Hallelujah. Worship. A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Your candle, your torch. Just keep going. You're good. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. This is the sixth chapter beginning at the 20th verse. And Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, and behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one and from one whom take away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic also. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward shall be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The Gospel of the Lord.
Father, you call us sometimes into struggle so that we might see your glory and know your peace. You call us into servanthood so we might know your example of leadership. You call us sometimes into death so we might know life. We pray that you would give us the courage to say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. All right, young people, gather together in the middle. Come together. Thank you. Who knows what a saint is? Raise your hand. What is it?
Like, super good person.
A super good person. That's right. Like me? Like, no? Oh, well, we'll come back to that one. Super good person. Name a saint. Saint Bernard?
No.
Yes, that's a real saint. Ha! Not just a dog. Saint. I know stuff. I went to seminary. St. Bernard, who's a real saint. St. Sulpician. We know him, right? He was a French saint. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh? St. Paul. You go, boy. Right there. That's what I'm talking about. St. Paul. St. Michael. St. Who else? You know any saints? The New Orleans saints. Everybody knows them? A saint is a word, a name given to people in the Bible. But we have taken this thing and said, okay, saints are just what you said, super good people. They're like extra different than we are. There's us, and then there's the saints. Or when you see somebody, they'll say this to somebody, you know somebody's really good, you say, That person is a saint. That person is a saint. That's right. Super good people. People you cannot be like. Who is so good that you can never be that good? Do you know somebody like that? Your daddy? Somebody wants his allowance. All right, good. That's right. That's great. I agree with you. There are people in this world you're like, I can never be that good. And you know what? I can't. And guess what? Those people are not that good. They just have really good press. And sometimes they're really good, but they're just normal and they do bad things too. Or they feel bad. Or, you know, there's this lady named, she passed away, but her name is Teresa, Mother Teresa. She was a nun. Already nuns are like super good, right? Because they wear nun clothes all the time. They do nun stuff. They're married to God. And people just thought Mother Teresa was the best person in the world, and she was super good. And she never had any problems. She was always happy and positive. And after she died, she left her diary. She didn't mean for to leave it. She thought she said to be destroyed, but they didn't destroy it. And we find out that in Mother Teresa's life, she had all kinds of struggle, and she had dark times, and she was sad. And she wasn't the perfect, wonderful saint. We always think of saints going, they're glowing. Whenever you see a picture of a saint, there's like a halo around them, and there's a little glow behind them. They did not really glow. Okay, so guess what? Those people are saints because they believed in Jesus. But guess what? So are you and so am I. Ha-ha! I am too. We are the saints of God. St. Paul tells us, he talks to the church, he says, the saints, we are the saints. You're a saint. What's your first name? What? Shakaro? Shakira. You're Saint Shakira, right? What's your name? I know. You're Saint Evie. What's your name? Saint Samuel. What's your name? Saint Robert. Saint Bobby. Saint Bobby K. That's right. Saint what? I know. Saint Lillian. Beautiful name. That's actually a very famous Saint Lillian. And you are Saint? Say it out loud. Saint Elizabeth. That's right. You're all saints. Because we're members of the body of Christ. We're all saints. That means today, All Saints Day, is your day too. And all the people that went before us and who have passed away and who love Jesus are part of the body of Christ, the communion of saints. And we are part of that. So we wear special clothes today. All saints, we wear white, the purity of God, the purity of, and because God has given them the gift of eternal life, of forgiveness, eternal life, and that's all part of our lives too in Jesus Christ. You're a saint. I want you to walk into school on Monday morning and say, hi there, Miss Johnson. I'm Saint Robert. And see what, oh, you're going to do it to your mom. You guys are homeschool, right? You go do it. You go to your school. See what happens. People will say, you're weird. Okay, they will. So don't do that. But you remember that you are a saint. You are chosen by God. The Bible says you are elect. You are chosen by God to follow him, and you have said yes. And so you're a saint. And that means you're part of a great family of Christ. Look out there and see your family. See them? All those people are your family. And for millions and millions and millions of people who have died before you, they're your family too in Jesus Christ. When I used to work at St. Philip's, I used to walk through their big cemetery. And some people think it's spooky. And the ghost tours go out there and say, oh, the ghosts and stuff. There's no ghosts out there. I walked through there and all I see are people that had gone to that same church and worshiped just like I did. And know Jesus just like I did 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years ago. And they're part of the same family. And when I get to heaven, when we get to go be with Jesus, we're going to meet all these people and we're going to go to church with them. And it's going to be awesome. And church will be awesome too. More awesome than it is now. Let's pray. And Father, we give you thanks that you have called us, your saints, into your presence. Today on All Saints Day, help us to know that we are part of your family. You are our Father and we are your children, the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What? That's right. Oh, the white robes and those. Oh, you heard the white robes. These white robes are important. I'm going to talk about the white robes in a second. All right. Cool. Go sit down. Oh, that's only expensive. That young person, St. Elizabeth, was listening to the reading today. So we have John, who was on the island of Patmos, who had dreams that God had sent him. And he went into the heavenly realms, and he saw this. He said, he saw this right here. I'm sorry, he saw this right here. And behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, like our acolytes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." It's a pretty serious dream, pretty detailed dream. I mean, I think he must have had his papyrus journal right next to him to write this down. The detailed dream. And guess what? John sees you in a dream. John saw you in a dream. And you had on a white robe. And you were worshiping God in the presence of God. You were worshiping God at the throne. And the Lamb was there. Jesus was there. And John the apostle saw you there. He didn't know your name because you had come with a huge group of people, a group of people that was unnumbered, a group of people so vast, it's amazing there was a place for it to happen because there were people from every tribe and every nation and all languages and all worship groups who loved Jesus, and they were all there, and so were you, and so will you be, because this dream is not a dream set in time. The dream set in eternity. It's an actual vision of the reality of part of our eternal life, in that we will be in glory. We will be in worship. And if you think that, oh, the rest of my life's going to be like this, coming to church, and that's okay for a lot of people, but this will be more than that. In the presence of God, you will be without any worry anymore. You will be without any struggle anymore. You will be full of eternal joy, and you will be compelled, because you can't help it, to fall in love with the Lord God and to be in worship. And it's going to be amazing, and you will not be alone, because it was seen by John. It's an amazing thing, and you will be part of the saints. You will be in the saints who are marching in. You want to be in that number when the saints come marching in. And you are. All the followers of Christ end up in this vision in the revelation of John. And you think to yourself, what did I do to deserve that? Because really, when I picture heaven, I think of a lounge chair, and I think of a cool breeze and a piña colada, and I think of some music, maybe not Barry Manilow, but something else, something going on. And I want to just rest in heaven, and this will be a rest for you. This will be God's version of heaven, which is way better than anything you can come up with. Way more relaxing than anything you can come up with. Way more beneficial to you than anything you can come up with. You can think about your cruise and your getaway, and you multiply that, and that's my heaven. But really, God has something more for you, the saints of God. The saints of God. And we are actually allowed to have visions, experiences, time in this kingdom life on this earth. When Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is preaching to the multitude, he does this thing which he does in Luke, which is really disturbing to me, and I'm glad I wasn't there. It says, when he began to preach, he raised his eyes and looked at the disciples. Oh, it's unnerving. Didn't you hate it in class? Right before a question was going to be asked, and the teacher would look at you, and she'd say, Johnny, what's the square root of 12? You know, I used to shrink down, get down, hide, put the book up, which is always a signal for the teacher to point out to me, always. I never wanted to be called on. And when Jesus starts talking about what our lives are like here, where the kingdom is going to pour into our life, he looks at his disciples, who are apparently standing together. And you know, that's against the rule when it comes to small group work. You need to spread out. Have you ever been in a crowd and say, y'all don't hang together, go out and meet with the people? They were all together. He looks at them and says, blessed are you when life gets rough, because you're going to experience the grace of God in a way you couldn't have otherwise. And woe, he's just, we have in the Gospel of Luke is the woes. There's no woes other places. In the Gospel of Luke, he says, woe to you who are rich, who depend on everything you have to satisfy your life, who worship your possessions because you have already gotten your reward. Life is good for you right now, but later on it's going to be tough because you put something in place of God and you're not going to have that great time. Your good times are finite. Your blessing you put on yourself is finite. And what happens after that is not going to be so great. But you have a chance right now to turn your eyes from your possessions and the things you accumulate for comfort and to look to God, and you will then have a glimpse of eternal joy, eternal. A glimpse of this crowd of people gathered around Jesus, which is a joy that we can't quite comprehend, a peace that passes our understanding, a joy that is outside of our bounds of comprehension, a wholeness. A place where there's no need for hope because those needs are met and our wants are taken care of that are good for us. And so he looks at the disciples and he says, you people, stop putting your faith in things that don't give you eternal life. Put them away or use them for God's glory instead of in place of God. And you will know the kingdom today, saints of God. You will know the joy of salvation even in your tribulation, saints of God. And he's speaking to us. One of the amazing things about faith in God, or even in the darkest times, if we say, dear Lord, this struggle is real. Dear Lord, my heart is in pain. Dear Lord, I cannot handle what is happening. In that moment, when you release that to the Lord, he will not necessarily wipe it clean and make it better, but you will begin to see what is in store for you. And you'll pour into your life, and maybe you'll be able to come up for air and do some of those things God has called us to do, to forgive, to reconcile, to understand. Maybe. Because later on, after you've given up this life, you will dump into this life that is full of forgiveness, reconciliation, grace, and joy, and it'll be nothing but that. In the Gospel of Luke later on, when Luke talks about Jesus being imprisoned, we have an account of Peter's betrayal of Jesus. It's specific to Luke. And it's important. It's the one I cling to. When Peter is betraying Jesus three times before the cock crows, it says that Jesus looked at Peter. He was in a place, imprisoned, held captive, with some sort of a window. And he looks at Peter in the eye at the moment of his greatest betrayal. And he loved him, although it doesn't say that till later on. And when he looks at the rich young ruler who comes to him and says, Lord, how do I gain salvation? It says he looked at him and he loved him. And that is what we can always count on. That even though we are the blessed are people, blessed are you when people revile you and curse you and make all kinds of comments about you because for my name's sake, even though we are those people, if we are walking in a way that is counterculture to this world, Jesus looks at us and loves us and promises us an eternity of blessing, an eternity of saint life, an eternity of white robes, which are not always slimming, but the symbolism is that we are free of sin. We are released to eternal life. We will reach a level of holiness which will preserve us forever. You can think of your life as being a long rope, a very long rope. And your life on earth is from where you are sitting right now to that door. And it's pretty long, like 20 feet. And that's the life you have to work with. You tie knots in it, you untie knots in it, you set fire to some of it, you have it repaired. You paint some of it. You try to make it as pretty as possible and comfortable as nice. But really, the robe goes out that door and past that door, and it never ends. And so we struggle with this short bit of rope, but we live for the entire length of eternity. And today, the promise on All Saints' Day is that God, he will give you, even with a short life, of whatever struggles you have and the glimpses of the kingdom, a complete life of eternity through the power of Jesus Christ, his Lord, his Son, who came to us to die that we might live. Today we learned about the covenant with Abraham, amazing thing that he, in fact, put himself in our place and made a promise to us that when we would fail in this contract full of love that he made for us, that we would not suffer the penalty, but that he would, in fact, pay the price of life for us. God of the universe says, when you fail, and I know you will, I will be punished for this, and therefore you will triumph. You will gain eternal life. It is my sacrifice that makes you whole. And that's why we're here today. We're not here, to just be in fellowship, although that's a good part of what Jesus brings for us. We're not here simply to hear good words and to be refreshed and filled, but that's a good part of it. We're not all here to sing loudly and praise God. That is certainly a part of it. We are here to praise God, but we're here to be in communion with God, that he might be able to pour into our now broken or broken open or held open hearts. We might, even in our woe times, feel the blessing of eternity. A covenant with God is a contract with love. When we fail, God does not. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid for our sins and ensured that we would be included in this story of Revelation. So when the party starts and the saints come marching in, you're there. And thanks be to God for his Son who made that possible. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for any struggle that you have caused us to walk through that may give us wisdom and experience and maybe even a vulnerability that causes you to be more powerful in our lives. We pray, Lord God, that we would walk with your wisdom instead of our own, that we would walk with your grace and your love instead of the meager amounts we are able to raise up on our own hearts. We pray for your healing and your blessing, and we are grateful for eternal life with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.